studies this morning, or this afternoon, and it looks like Brett is going to introduce.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Unfortunately, Commissioner Kaiser is unable to join today. He had a commitment that he's unaware of having a commitment. He made a commitment to be here. So he sends his regrets. He asked me to tell you a little bit about him so that next quarter, when he's here, you'll know a little bit more about him. And if you want to meet with him between now and then, he's certainly welcome that opportunity. As you probably already know, he spent about 35 years in the insurance industry. He owned his own agency for that period of time. He recently sold that agency. When he became the commissioner, he also served in the legislature. He's a five-term Republican House of Representatives person, and I can tell you firsthand, having just ended the legislative session, having a commissioner that knows his way around the legislature and the money committees and the policy committees and the various people is really very helpful for the insurance department to ensure that the issues that we have get heard and get considered by the policymakers. So he sends his regrets, but he's committed to being here next quarter.
Very good.
Or whenever your next meeting is.
I'm excited. I think he'll be a great asset. Okay, if everybody would like to read over the previous minutes.
In the Salt Lake Court, Anna seems to be dealing with the bond issues quite a bit. And so I made sure that I went to West Jordan and talked to Rosemary and all of that. Taylorsville, I've been, Shell is actually the person that's been working that part of it, so we're in contact now, and I've stopped by there. The interesting thing is I went to the Murray Justice Court. I actually happened to live fairly close to that particular court, so I thought I'd stop there. And as I walked in, just to get my card and, you know, explain who I was and what have you, right on the payment window were two calendars from Beehive Bail Bonds. So what I did is they made sure that they took it down, and originally the calendars are still there, just not the Beehive Bail Bonds. So, and she at first was, well, that's not, we're not advertising, we're just putting the calendar out there, you know. So anyway, I explained all of that to them. And I talked to Suzette, and weekly until I get all the courts done, the justice courts, I'm going to go out and just make sure that they've got the proper information, that they've got me as a contact person, and that, you know, they know who they can call if they have any questions at all. So I just kind of want to give you a report on that part of it, to also let you know that the next time we meet, I'll have more information out there for you. I also have been making contacts with various individuals. Mike Wingett is a jail commander, Sheriff's Association, so I talked to him. Next time they have a meeting, I've asked to go so that I can meet and be, you know, part of that particular process, okay? So that I'm a go-to person for them. I've been talking to Whitney at BCI, so making the contacts there. Also, Captain Richard Church, I've been talking to him quite a bit, and I've actually got access now to OMS. I know that's not something that I probably need a lot, but I want to be on the same page as you are, so that I can actually help and facilitate you guys a lot more. That's one of my goals, and so that's where I'm starting on that. I've also been talking to the jails. I went to the jail a couple times, the Salt Lake one, because it is a little easier for me to get to, so I've been there a couple times, looked at the leader board. I've, you know, done that a few times. I've also talked to not all of them, I've got about three more that I need to call, but I've talked to the jails, and I've said, you know, yeah, you have our website, you can always look on there, but I'm a body. I want to help you if you have any questions or concerns, or, you know, there's a misunderstanding. I need you to go ahead and get a hold of me, and I'll work with you on it. It was interesting because a lot of the little jails were, we never talked to a body before about any of this. And so, you know, that was part of the process. And again, when I go to the courts, the jails, I'll stop by and just so that they can put a body, a face, the name that they got. So I just want you to know, as far as all of that, we are taking into consideration what you have indicated is a need, and we're addressing that for you now.
Well, I appreciate that. That's exactly what I think we need. Like you said, when they put a face to it, when they had a problem or a question before, it was push the paper away, and now we can say we've got a card, we know what kind of person she is, and we have that contact. Now, have any of them, just out of curiosity, have any of the court liaisons or any of the jailers or anybody contacted you over any problems or asked any questions?
No, they haven't. They haven't actually. When I've done a little bit more dealings with them, it's been when I've received a forfeiture. You know, and also just when I went out to talk to Rosemary about the forfeitures and things, she brought to my attention a couple little areas that she had some concerns with. So she's emailing me with that, and I'm going to be working on that aspect of it. And again, it's with forfeiture, so they haven't actually come to my attention, but it's behind the scenes a little bit, so I'm going to be working with her on that too.
Perfect. I know it takes a lot of extra time and effort on your part, but I think
overall, you know what?
It helps benefits everybody.
It does. I have a perfect director, and also Brett has just been wonderful and supportive. So, you know, that's the service that we're going to provide and get more involved with it.
Great. Any questions on comments?
There we go.
That's the old business. business. What can we do to assist the department, and what role can they play? Suzette and Brett.
I'm going to hand you out a couple of things.
And I believe this old business item really also goes hand in hand with the new business item, pursuant to the motion that the board made at the last meeting on January 9th to, you know, what can we do together? And so Suzette has taken charge of that request, and we'll be making that presentation here to you today.
Also, Brett, I know Commissioner Kreiser wasn't able to be here today, but he communicated to you or Suzette some of the things he was going to talk about.
With regard to the replacement process?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I'm one short, but I'll be here.
Basically, I went to the code and looked to see what were shalls and which were mays. And you've got the code in here on this section after my analysis, and then also R-591-86 as it stands right now. you have decided to meet quarterly, which will help on the financial issue that was brought up last month, or 3 months ago. You can make written recommendations to the commissioner on rules, and you have done that, and you were in the process of redoing 186, is what we'll talk about a little later. Part of that has to do with individual licenses, and I've handed out to you an individual license report. And so you'll get that every quarter or every time we meet. And that will give you an idea of who the individuals are coming into the industry. And also, if you see a name there that you have any kind of issues with, you probably would like to let us know what you know that we didn't know. So that's part of your helping the board a little bit. Yes, Gordon.
My computer at the end of the month, I renewed in March. Is there a reason I'm not on there? Or?
I just got this report like 10 minutes before I came over here.
Stay 10 minutes after the meeting.
I mean, still, it would still be good, but I mean, I do have a renewal from like Zircon.
Yeah, it should shut up. I will have to check into that. But thank you. You found the problem already.
You probably have checked that twice.
I'll check Zircon, and then I'll go ahead and call and producer's edge and see where what comes
out. I can just forward the Zircon receipt to you.
Okay. So this will help, and I think this will give you an idea of who's coming. If we had an agency come in, that would also be here, but we didn't have. So that's why there's no agency. And your agency renewals are coming up, not right now, so they wouldn't show up. Another issue that you could review and look at in 186 is the portion where you set the bonding limits. And that hasn't been reviewed for a while, so you may want, as a board, to review that and see if those bonding limits are still appropriate. So I said raising or lowering. So it can go either direction, whichever the board would like to look at. You've helped us modify 186 on unprofessional conduct. There's always issues that may come up that may not be listed, and we've added pieces here and there, and there may be something else that's come across your plate that we haven't heard about yet that may need to be on there. So that is something to be watching for.
How many complaints do we get on the professional conduct? I'm curious.
You know what? I haven't received one on unprofessional conduct. It's been on other aspects of contractual and things of that nature. But as far as unprofessional, no, I haven't had anything.
We've had them in the past. I mean, you and I know some of the past history cases, but we haven't seen them quite a while.
Making you scared.
Currently, and this may be something that would be of interest to you, in the title arena, there are what we call informal orders. And the title commission has agreed to, on certain kinds of issues, these particular grid, so to speak, this issue is worth this fine kind of thing. But they're ones that are very simple. They're not difficult, convoluted issues. You may choose to do something like that in your rule, or even ask to put that in code. Title has theirs in the code.
Title calls it informal.
It's an informal order that allows us to go ahead and do it without having to talk to the board. In other words, it's something that if it's a, I'm trying to think, failure to respond to the a letter of the commissioner. Okay.
It is in rule title.
So failure to respond could be something simple that's put in there as an informal order, and it's something that would go quicker as an informal order versus a stick and out.
And so
as a rule.
And that's why I was kind of asking if we had to know, so that we could, if there were a number of complaints along the same lines, we probably could set an order for those instead of
right, right. And we could do, in fact, we probably should have. We could do kind of a synopsis of the last 2 or 3 years and list what types of things we've seen and what we've fined for and give you, you know, a synopsis of that, if you like. And that would help you make a decision whether you would like to do something like that.
That would be good if we could.
Okay. One of the other things you're allowed to do is screen bail bond agency, and I'm going to use the word agency so we know it's not the insurer application. Currently, we receive all those by electronic means, and we review them for their financials. And financials are protected information, so if we were to give you the principal names and the name of the agency they'd like to form, we could give you that kind of information, and that way you would know whether there's something of issue that you may know about in something totally different than bail, you know, that might make an effect on whether or not we should issue that license.
So I just wanted a little bit of clarification. That's on the renewal part of the, is that what you're talking about? Mm-hmm. On the original application? All right.
Original
application. Yeah. I might want to check, is there anything that's come to the department's attention that made you believe we might want to change some of those bonding limits? Or, I mean,
No. All I did was review what was there, and that is something you can do. So that is something you can consider.
I didn't know.
No, I'm not alluding to anything at all.
And a while ago, there were a few companies that were, or one in particular, that was, they were moving away, and they were going to close down. There were some issues on how that was going to be done and how it would affect maybe FTAs. How did that work out?
I see your face. I'm not sure.
I know it was a big question on how companies should wind down.
I think we need to look at that as to what, you know, they still are on the hook for those outstanding, if there's any outstanding bonds. So.
I know one of the issues was if they used a letter of credit like some of them had, and as soon as the letter of credit expired, there was nothing to go after. basically. So I think you talked about credit extending past the time that their license would be.
That's a good point.
Okay, was there anything else?
You're allowed to recommend actions regarding granting, renewing, suspending, revoking, reinstating all bond surety company licenses, meaning the agencies, and that those licenses will be coming forward, or those renewals will be coming forward here shortly. And so, we can give you the names, and I just cannot share financials with you. We could tell you that they are solvent or not, or we consider them approved as far as what we would require.
But they're not solvent. They're not going to get
renewed,
right?
We could give you that list, and that will be a part of the list. We're going to give you the list here under the licenses of the agencies, but we cannot give you the financials. I have to stress that because I double-checked that like three times four.
Right, exactly. And in the past, on the renewals, you guys can just kind of screen them according to
the code.
The code.
Yep.
And if they passed, they passed. If there was anything that was questionable, at that point you would bring it to us. If there was a...
I'm trying to remember the year that this came over to us.
Here.
I know, so was I.
1998.
At that time, I think we just took all comers. And I think now we've learned that that's not probably a smart move. And we're being very, very careful. And especially if they are presenting their own self-worth to, or backing to cover the limits that they need to have. We are double-checking that, sometimes triple-checking during the year.
I would say, and I think all the board members need to speak if I'm not speaking for everybody, but as long as everything meets code and everything is above board without question, I think you guys have done a good job and keep handling that. If there is a question or is a problem, or even a question or maybe a huge change in property value or something like that, then maybe that could be brought before to work. On most cases, unless there was a flag that came up, I wouldn't think we would need to. Gary, in the back.
Well, I can understand the Department of Insurance reluctance to want to release our personal financial information, but the insurance companies, farmers, whatever, that's all a matter of public record. I mean, I have to go online and find out what Farmers is worth. And I don't know, I understand we're individuals, and I do appreciate the reluctance. But on a new company coming in, is there some process where you could, because I'm talking to the Department of Insurance, could release information of what you've done to verify the assets and what basically the what type of assets they consist of. And I'm going back to the football cards, to the car titles, the semi-precious gems, work of art, and so forth. You know, J.D. had organized a committee that just went nowhere about determining what is an asset. If I own 5 acres and it's accessible by the road, that's an asset. I don't think any of us would disagree. But if I own a great collection of football cards, I don't consider that any type of an asset. And I just have real concerns because I know that stuff has gotten to the Department of Insurance. And I think that board up there, you know, should be able to be given some of those tools to kind of make an informed decision.
I mean, I have no problem saying they have a letter of credit or they're backed by a surety or they have property worth X dollars. But I'm not sure where council would be on that.
Yeah, well, I don't think that, you need to share with Mr. Harris my personal assets, but the fact that, you know, my range is from, you know, $1 to $100, and it's based on real property. I don't, or primarily, or 50% on real property. I don't see where that's really such a violation of some supposed trust or something you've got.
That's a question for Perry, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, or my counsel.
Or your counsel. And I do see a huge difference in whether it's an initial application or a renewal. So an initial application, I think, would be scrutinized a lot closer than a renewal.
So my question is, somebody puts down, they own a piece of property, they give you a physical address, and they establish a value on it. Do you take that on face value? Or?
Oh, no.
What happens then?
We use staff in the department to check the values.
Through the county assessor. And do you make a determination that this party is on title?
Yes, we do.
And you verify
or their
mortgages or anything else, right?
Well, are you looking, well, that's my next step.
Or there's some letter pledging that property.
Well, if somebody's got a house worth $300,000 and a mortgage worth $350,000,
yeah.
There's no asset.
No, I'm not sure I can get to what their loan is.
Yes, you can. The mortgages are recorded for the most part.
Right.
So you don't know what the payoff is, but you know what the mortgage is.
Right. No, yes, correct.
That's a function of your CPA. That's
of what?
The financial.
The CPA produces the financials should be checking that. And we take their assessment as well. But we do check on property values.
The CPA is liable for what he signs on those assets. And if he's lying about them, he could be culpable for fraudulently putting together a financial statement.
So if you've got a certified CPA audit, basically, then that answers the other question.
But we still do some checking, even with the CPA audit.
They're not certified audit. They're just reviewed, by the way, which is a much lesser threshold.
Because they cost.
I'm often grateful about it. Trust me. So.
What problem are we trying to solve here?
Just providing more information to you when the new company comes in, a new agency. Trying to get you comfortable with their...
So if you can accept the CPA's reviewed statement, then my guess is that we should be able to accept it. Unless, of course, somebody knows that
something
John Doe has nothing.
Right.
Okay.
And well, I feel that you guys should do the renewals like you've been doing. If there's an issue, just bring it to the board. I mean, I don't want to sit here and review everybody's stuff. I think you guys should do that. And if you say that you think somebody's insolvent, then bring it towards them.
And then we could give you just a summary report, right. Just
that's,
like we're
that's
doing.
That's how I feel. I don't know if you guys
yes.
agree.
That's what I mentioned before.
There's no
sense. See if there's a flag that comes up, bring it to us other than that.
And we do this for title, just so you know, so we model it after the title model.
New company, they're going by the same schedule that the rest of us are on our renewals as far as having title reports, appraisals, and so forth. So if they came in on a year that no appraisals are required, they don't need to do an appraisal, right?
Well, if it's new coming in, they have to get all that to start.
To start with, okay.
Yeah. So that will have to be there. I can't just...
That was my question, is
yeah.
Do they have to have an appraisal
yes.
starting company?
Yes.
And you said that you were doing checks during the year mm-hmm. on people's net worth, and is that random or is it?
It's usually when we hear complaints, or all of a sudden there's a whole bunch of court notices that they have something to say.
Okay, so it's something that flags that.
Yeah, there may be one or two, I'm not saying there is, but there may be at some point in time one or two that, you know they were on the bubble when you renewed them, so then you just kind of look periodically just to make sure they're okay.
I do let our parents, I'm not nervous, but so it's something that, it's not a random thing where all of a sudden you want to go out and check some of these assets and go,
no,
you want to make sure they still have the property, they still have that.
We're.
It has to, some has to flag it.
Yeah.
And I was kind
of. We only have one of hers.
I was just wondering if somebody went into default, if they had, $300,000 house and they've got $200,000 in equity, and all of a sudden their house goes into default, or a lien.
I'm going to tell you, I get the most unusual reports from attorneys across the state about someone going into bankruptcy. And so I have to look at all their names because I get them as a letter because they have done something with the insurance department at some point in time. So therefore, their asset is now looking under that scenario. And so I watch for names in the district.
Good. There is a clause in non-professional conduct if a person's assets change and they don't disclose that to the insurance department that they could be in trouble.
That's correct.
Oh, for sure, and I'm just wondering if that would be picked up before it was too late. But it says they're supposed to voluntarily disclose it, and if they don't, then that would be subject to sanctions. For sure. I'm just looking, it's possible you could, something could come up and you could get a lien put on your property. You might not know the lien was put on your property. You could know there's a judgment, but at the time the lien was put on, you might not know exactly when it was.
I got another guy.
Which puts your partner in jeopardy. So the court's in jeopardy. Nobody would know. I don't know that there's a remedy for it, but I'm just wondering if there's any spot checks or anything periodically.
Did you hire that genie that I want?
Yeah.
You also may conduct investigations. I think I'm going to leave this a little bit because I've read what you're going to hear later that may tie into that somewhat. And I included on here your board responsibilities in the code and the full 186, ARPA 186 for your review. And so I think there's still stuff that both sides can do to help. And I think giving you the synopsis of what the complaints are in the past 3 years or so. And I may go as far back as five because, you guys aren't the big complaining industry, so.
Question. Am I under the impression that the board is not seeing the complaints now?
No.
Not at all? So what are we talking about? So they're going to see the complaints?
No, I'll give them a synopsis. In other words, a generalization. In the last 5 years, we've had X number on this issue, X number on this issue, that type of thing. So you kind of have an idea, mostly to go towards setting up a forfeiture schedule or something of that sort.
But then they still have any input on those complaints?
If we have an issue, we feel like we need to go to the board.
So they still have the power to have input?
Yes.
It just doesn't happen,
Right. And we just, most of our complaints, honestly, are coming from the courts.
Okay. And that's usually remedied with a phone call or a strong letter.
Very strong.
Okay. So this is something that's going to, you guys are going to automatically start doing, or do we have to motion for you to do it?
I can just do it, I think. I don't think you need a motion for that. If you're willing to accept something like that and let me prepare it for you, then.
Sure.
And then
that
we'll
includes the spreadsheet for the renewal listings.
Yes, and this will, as we get, if we were to have gotten a new agent license on here, it would have showed, but we did not. So that's why there's nothing there. And I think last year we only had one or two the whole year. And I'm going to make one other thing. You guys know before we do, because you'll have heard it in the jails, that a new bail bond agency is come to town and they're not licensed with us. I just came back from a trip to Houston, and in a taxi ride I was on, I noticed four bail bond agencies where I was in Houston. And it got me thinking, because I ran into a car and a truck, two of them with signage on them, and neither one of them were Utah bail bond agency companies. They were both Nevada, but they were here in Salt Lake.
Did you ride the Amber down?
No, I was driving. I did remember their names, but I couldn't remember names and numbers. But, you know, you're going to see it before we will, as a rule. And that's one other thing you can do, because you can alert us, you know, this guy went to jail, but I don't show him on your license plate. Yes, sir.
I'm wondering if they're getting the phone calls and then doing transfer bonds to us agents that are licensed for sureties. Because I get phone calls all the time from people from out of state to write a bond.
Or they're here to arrest somebody and drag them back to.
Yeah, or they're already in jail and they're coming to call them out.
They must be getting a phone call or there's a bond because it's the advertising, and then they end up calling the national company and then they call us.
We do periodically. Kathy has done it. We do also periodically when we have downtime is we go out and just web search.
Do you have downtime?
Well, a lot of times I'll do that at night just at home, just for fun. But I'll go out there and just type in bail bond Utah and see how many names come up. And we've had a lot come up that have nothing to do with Utah. But they're not actually doing bail bonds either. They're usually doing immigration bonds. But we have to, you know, we have to search down to get to that, you know. And, you know, so we do that as being proactive and looking at it.
Years back, did you get a complaint about the Mesquite, Nevada agency advertising in Washington County? I don't think it's going on today, but I know it was.
Do you know the name? I don't remember.
I think they don't any longer. I think they addressed it.
Is there anything else?
That's my presentation.
Brett, do you have anything else?
No, like I mentioned, I'm not sure why on the agenda these two items got bifurcated, but this, what you just heard from Suzette, she was assigned to address the motions the board made under new business legislative changes, what should be made. And so I don't know if Suzette has any formal recommendations, but I don't have anything further on that.
Issue is replacing process with the board opening. Suzette, do you want to take that one, or is that?
I think
that.
I think there's another sub item, the amendments to R590-186-8. So at the last meeting, there was discussion about that, about really, you know, here's this rule that, first off, used to say the board and the commissioner shall investigate allegations. The statute says may and the rule says shall, so that was obviously problematic. So really I just took the opportunity to go through and make some changes just as a starting point for you guys to start discussing potential changes to this rule. I think they're in your packet. If anyone in the audience needs them, we might have a few extras floating around. Okay. So really, it was just my attempt to really look at, you know, first the statute, and then really the practicality of how the investigations occur, and put them in writing, and also maybe, giving the board a little more authority with regards to the investigations.
And taking up the conflict between the
rule and the statute. So anyway, just a starting point. There's, you know, so it's just my first attempt, so.
Thank you. Gary.
Yes, a question to the chair.
I noticed there were four complaints filed this quarter and four complaints closed this quarter. And I'm asking the board, how many complaints did you guys review to make a recommendation on? The four complaints that were reviewed and closed. It's not just that four that was closed.
No. There are some that, as I had indicated when I was visiting it, I have some old business that was closed, but I have some continuing business that I'm doing.
One of my dilemmas is unprofessional conduct, which most of those should eventually show up with Perry's suggestion for the format changing, those will eventually always show up. But the determination as to what makes it unprofessional conduct is something that I don't quite understand. Because I know a lot of them are reviewed by the department and just summarily closed and never presented to anything other than in-house. Because you say it's a financial issue, it's a forms issue. But based again on previous experience with the department, as obviously prior to you, but a fiduciary under professional conduct, any fiduciary shortcoming should be an unprofessional conduct issue. And I guess I would just ask that you would agree with that, and that if a person does not return collateral, if they do not return their agent or sub-agents, build up fund money, these are all fiduciary violations and are considered, to me, just onerous things that should obviously be dealt with severely, as opposed to just saying, well, it's a financial issue, see them in small claims. I guess I just want to know what you feel a little different.
I don't think she should answer that right now.
Thank you.
I think each case is on a case-by-case basis, and I'm guessing she looks at each case that way.
Well, I guess, Perry, what I'm really kind of heading towards is that there's that determination made if it's a unprofessional conduct, and if it's not, this board would never probably see the complaints, any detail of the complaint.
A lot of our complaints that are open, if I may answer a little bit of this, are open because we've received something from the court that says, you know, a forfeiture denial. Due process allows us to send them a letter. They have 5 days to fix the problem. If they do, it's done.
Yeah.
And we close the complaint.
But there's a very established Utah code over the unpaid forfeiture, the unpaid judgment. I mean, that's a section of law all unto itself. Really has no other, unless there's a suspension. Well, even if there's a suspension, that does not affect the board. That's something that's all done internally, and that's based upon our.
But if there's a pattern, if I'm getting a whole bunch of them, that shows me a pattern that maybe we have to go in.
Is that these three audits?
Yeah. I have actually three audits that are scheduled in
I'm being rather mouthy because I'm now officially off of parole.
We'll see how you change. Parole officer.
No more ankle bracelets.
Is that happening?
A little. I just obviously worry.
Sure.
I don't sleep at night. I always so.
I can give you some other things to do.
Is there anything else?
Well, kind of to respond to Gary, I can't remember a complaint or an investigation being brought to us for quite a while.
The only thing we're supposed to bring to you is the professional.
Okay. So I guess everybody's minding their business. That's good.
If we can't get We get a lot of complaints. This agent did this.
Okay.
But if I can't get the person they did it to give me a statement, and it's only hearsay from somebody else, I can't do a thing with them. And that happens a lot. Not a lot, but a lot of the cases that you don't hear are like because of that.
But if there's a pattern, does that get brought to us, or you're still just
Closing? See, I have a pattern of complaints, but you can create all kinds of complaints about anybody you want and have different people call it in.
A pattern would have to be substantiated.
Yes.
So are you currently looking at any unprofessional conduct complaints?
No, I'm not.
So there's none that we might hear about next quarter that you know of today?
Unless one of the audits shows something.
And this list that you'll present next time, the two to three year look back and synopsis of actions and the amounts fined, which the board has accepted and requested you do, that would show any and all unprofessional conduct violations in that period.
What that list will be a summary list. It will not be an individual.
Yeah, we're not looking for the names of the people,
but whether
there was an unprofessional conduct violation, that will be disclosed in that.
If it shows up on the system, yes.
Why wouldn't it show up in the system?
If I go back 5 years, it might not show up.
I think you had said 2 or 3 years.
I know, but I did say if there's not a lot, I may go back further just to give you a better picture.
Does anybody have an idea of what unprofessional conduct is? I mean, I thought Gary had a good point. There's a part of the conduct that's obviously covered by the law, and it's clear.
Yeah.
But like lawyers with unprofessional conduct, it's pretty rough.
There's a rule with 29 items. There's a rule with 29 items listing what unprofessional conduct is in R590-186-7.
And you've got it, because I gave you a copy of the entire rule.
You got a copy of it, man.
Okay.
What's the site again?
590-186-7.
And that's in here. In the piece I gave you as a board, it's in there.
This covers two and a half pages. Just the unprofessional conduct.
Right. Yes.
And all of the complaints we've got, none of them.
Okay, so keep your notes.
It seems like we would have seen something.
There'd have to be something. So just randomly, any co-signers or indemnitors that would be required and blah, 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 the conditions under which the bond would may be exonerated and the collateral return. It's just, I mean, it goes on and on.
Well, so I mean, look at number 28.
Pardon me?
Look at number 28.
Comes to comply with the provision of Utah statutes and rules regulating bail bonds, surety business, or order of the insurance commissioner, including outstanding judgments.
So if the letter she sent out last week.
That covers everything, precinct 27. So I'm sorry, Suzette.
I was just going to say, I know that some letters went out because of courts contacting Kathy last week. And their 5 days are up this week, so we'll see what happens.
That still doesn't come to the board, correct, Suzette?
Pardon?
That still doesn't come to the board.
If they don't do their judgments, then it falls under this.
Okay, and then it's brought to the board, and then they make a recommendation of the punishment?
Well, code establishes the punishment.
Right. Well, we will look at it, come to you and say this is what we're planning to do.
Got it.
Yay or nay. And then we can come back and say, no, I think it should be this. And then we can consider.
So, you know, I tend to agree that it's typical to believe that there hasn't been something that has fallen under this within the last 2 years that would have come to the board. So I don't know what I'm missing.
That's why I'm
going to
take a look at what's in there.
So, Zed, if I was to dig out a still an unresolved what I consider it's under official contract. The stores before the processors. Fiduciary responsibilities. There is a court ruling.
Yeah, I may look at that too, because it crossed my mind.
I will send you. I'll scan you the documents and show you the court ruling and so forth regarding.
Okay.
There's nothing else there. The replacement process for board openings. Is that you want to take that one?
I can take that, Mr. Chair, if you would. So three of our board members, their terms will be expiring as of June 30th of this year, 2013. Gordon's, Brad's, and Megan's. And in your packet, and if it isn't already on the website, I think it is on the website already.
Yeah.
There is a special notice, a description of who it is, what those openings will be, and how somebody interested in filling one of those spots can go about being considered for one of those spots. It's titled Special Notice. So the governor has indicated to his cabinet that he doesn't want board members serving more than two terms unless there's special circumstances or whatnot. And so appointments, and I don't know if this is in the statute, but okay, so it's in the statute in this case, and it's also something the governor wants, is board members are limited to 2 4-year terms. So if those of you whose term is expiring, you want to reapply, and you haven't already served a consecutive term, that is, you're not currently serving, then you can reapply, or you can tell your friends and colleagues and other interested parties that they can apply. We've tried to make the application process very easy. Just please send us a cover letter expressing your interest and why you want to be a member of the Bail Bond Board, maybe what you could bring to the Bail Bond Board and the community and the stakeholders which it represents, as well as a resume. And you can send those to my attention at the department. But ask that you get those in before June 4th, the first week in June, so that we can have an opportunity to compile those and put them in a packet give the commissioner an opportunity to review those, and then it will be his decision. The board members are appointed by the commissioner as far as new members go for the Bail Bond Board, which, like I said, we anticipate happening this summer. So this is April. So probably at our next meeting.
Now have you served two terms? This is the end of your second term. And Gordon and I, it's the end of our first term.
So you could reapply, and Megan would have to wait if we, the next terms that come due, this is actually also on your sheet in your packet, it indicates when each person's term ends. So using Megan as an example, Megan could apply again the next time, because you're a public member, right? So the next time a public member seat opens up, you could apply to be a board member at that time, and then you could serve that term and one more. You just can't serve three times in a row, only two times in a row. Does that make sense? No more than two consecutive terms. So that's the process. I'm happy to answer any questions, Mr. Chair, from you or anyone else.
I don't have anything else.
Second
that.
Other business?
Other business, yes.
I'd like to report on what the Bail Bond Association is currently working on. We had our general meeting in February. That was a long time to have it here at the Capitol because we parked where Carl Malone's home is, we had to walk. So. But anyway, we'll remember that one next time. Although I think we had it in January of last year, the year before, and it wasn't bad at all. So I don't understand that.
It was earlier.
That particular day was
an issue. Earlier in the session, if you have to do it.
Or wait till it's over. But anyway, we got the minutes out in March to everybody, and in that we requested that any recommendations for legislative changes be sent to us, and we already have a minute of them, and we sent the packet that Jamie developed back in October 2011. We sent that to everybody and said use that as a basis to start your interest and what you would like to change. And we're getting that feedback. I would anticipate, I've had several requests to delay meeting with committees until after taxes are lower. And so we're kind of slow at the moment. But we will do that, and we basically anticipate, say, mid-May to have something formulated to present to Brett and sit down and talk and see what we can get done.
Perfect. And I might say Todd Kaiser is going to be a huge asset.
But anyway, we're moving forward, but it's slow. So.
Well, if I can make one comment on that. I know how slow it goes, and it's hard to get everyone together, but we are literally working now on our legislation for next year, because the sponsor of the insurance department's bill the last couple of years, Representative Dunnigan, he's very good at what he does, and he gets that bill done, and he gets it done quickly, and he gets it done early. And so I'm glad to hear that the association is meeting now so you can get recommendations in, but I suspect that our legislative package will be complete by the end of the summer.
Well, we have talked to a sponsor, and I think we've used several in the past that are...
So you've got your own sponsor, okay.
Well, we don't know what we're going to do, but that's... We are looking at all the possibilities, so...
Correct.
But we want to...
What it's going to come down to is if we can all agree with what we're going to do.
Exactly.
The sponsor's not going to...
That's the difficult part, is agreeing on what you're going to do, because that's a problem.
We would like to have a uniform. Of the battle up there. Obviously, both sides would like that. So that is going to take some work on our part, the industry's part, and the state's part, to make sure that that does happen. Because we all know what happens when we go to battle in the session. Nobody really knows. So I think we, as an association, we need to get together, get that, and then get with Suzette, and Brett, and Commissioner Kaiser.
He will run a bill, you know, with insurance amendments. I suspect what will be in next year's bill is probably a bunch of health stuff again, like in this year's bill, and the ACA continues to develop. But yeah, I would anticipate the department running a bill every year.
Well, I was just wondering if Dunnigan would cost a bill.
It would have to be Dunnigan since he's the elected official.
If Kaiser's on board, that would be...
Well, a battle at the legislative level is, we all already know it's no good, so.
We all lose, yeah. So I would recommend, let's, yeah. The onus is on us right now as an industry and as an association to put together what we want, try to work it out with you guys, and then move forward. So I think the ball's in our court. Second? Let's go home.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
I just came back from vacation.
Yeah. and I've only been when they're in college.
And I do. I'm not really that much. But like, I'm just worried. I don't know. I'm such a fool.
Only once in my life.
We can't plan for
I
will. How are you?
How are you? Good to see you.
You too.
Good to see you.
And I don't think we've ever met. Dominic Sinoni.
Dominic, Brett Ferris.
My pleasure.
You used to be on the chair of the board.
Oh, really? You should have been applying.
Absolutely.
The position? That's great.
I applied before and I got shot down, so I got to do it again. For sure.
All right, yeah. Please do.
Hey, Brad.
How are you guys doing?
Good.
Can't complain at all.
Good.
That's awesome.